Welcome to the Popcorn Talk Network, for the online broadcast network that features movie discussion, news, and interviews. Press one.
Popcorn Talk. We talk movies.
Congratulations. On behalf of the Popcorn Talk Network, the online broadcast network for movie talk, and the schmoes know, you are now a member of the Jedi Alliance. May the Force be with you, always.
As Darth Vader once said, I have you now. Which is sort of like saying hello if you are an evil Sith Lord. Welcome to Jedi Alliance. This is a celebration of the greatest saga ever told. I am one of your hosts. My name is Joseph Scrimshaw, and our other host...
I am the Internet Soapbox Mark Donica, as always. Welcome to Jedi Alliance. Today we're going to be covering a little bit of speculation when it comes to what the next three films are going to be. Kathleen Kennedy recently talked about how the saga is all about the Skywalkers, and we're going to dive into that a little bit more today.
Yeah, great fun confirmation that the movies are kind of going to be in the spirit of both the prequel and original trilogies, which we didn't know before. So we're going to dive into that with our awesome guest, returning guest, Tony Thaxton.
Hello, three-peat.
Yes, this is your third visit as a guest. Can you tell people who, for some reason, ignored your other two awesome visits a little bit about yourself?
Terrible people.
I would rather not, because I'm very offended but that they just didn't watch.
Sit here and quiet.
Yep. Just so you guys just go ahead and... my name is Tony Thaxton, as they said. I currently do a year-round Christmas-themed podcast called Feliz Navipod. I'm also a musician. I used to play drums in a band called Motion City Soundtrack. That's where, if you know me, that's probably where you know me from. I can admit that.
You have to admit shamefully that you were a drummer in an awesome, famous rock band.
Well, famous is a strong word. I do lots of random crap.
Awesome.
And you can find me at TonyThaxton.com. It's too early for plugs?
No, I don't care. Never early.
No, it's never too early. Never too soon, never too late for plugging. So you're returning for the third time. Big Star Wars fan.
Yes.
So we've got a variety of returning guest questions for you.
All right.
So first up, this is a classic Ken Knapsack question we wanted to bring back. What is your favorite Rebel ship?
Well, you know, I feel like the gut, you immediately... start to say Millennium Falcon, but it's like that's too obvious. I've always been a fan of the Rebel Blockade Runner. I just like the way that ship looks.
Oh yeah,
I believe it. I think it has a more. Isn't it like a Corvette something? I think that they
I
have
think
like
so.
A,
yeah, yeah.
Which is kind of is that. It's weird that they call it a Corvette, right?
I think I heard that when I was so young, I didn't know that it was weird. And I think that's a thing I've been thinking about is as I revisit the movies at different ages.
Uh-huh.
Like, sometimes you'll hear something now and it sounds like, well, that's weird that they used a modern word. But then I look back and like, oh, I just didn't know that that was a real human word.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. Because it'd be short for a Corellian vet or something. They could make it work somehow in the canon. Why not?
Absolutely. They've made a lot of other things work and they'll make
Corellian veteran.
Yeah.
Yeah. How do you feel about calling the Millennium Falcon a rebel ship? I mean, it certainly is. But it's also Han. It's kind of lone.
That's true.
But he becomes a general. So he becomes a general in the Rebel Alliance. So technically, the Falcon also gets... popped into the Rebel Alliance as well.
Yeah, it's the General Millennium Falcon.
Yeah.
It gets the same title.
It's generally a ship in the Rebellion. If you turn to the dark side, what would your Darth name be?
Probably Darth Brooks.
Go on. As to what brought you to Darth Brooks?
I used to play a game with myself and others. Actually, this used to happen on in my touring days a lot. We'd be bored in the van or the bus, and we called this game Ultimate Halloween Costume, where it would just be mashing up two characters or something along those lines, and Darth Brooks was one of my favorite answers of just being like a full Darth Vader costume, but then like a cowboy hat, a headset mic.
That is truly terrifying.
Yeah, that would work. Would there also be like you take it off and it's Gaines and it's like Anakin Gaines sort of a thing? I don't know. Adding layers.
I love two different identities.
Yeah. Four different identities.
Layer upon layer, like an evil onion. Speaking of onions. Next question is, which Star Wars character do you think smells the best? Thank you for taking the question very seriously.
I got to take all these, except for, well, no, Darth Brooks was serious.
Yeah.
I have mixed feelings, but for some reason my gut wants to tell me Grand Moff Tarkin.
Really?
He just seems like a elegant, like, serious guy, and I feel like he's going to take his hygiene seriously.
Okay.
But at the same time, kind of an old guy. And sometimes they start smelling a little weird.
Hold on. He seems like he would smell like an aged oak.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful musk full of wisdom and
like
and knowledge.
Like an evil whiskey.
Yeah. Evil whiskey.
That's he would smell like an evil whiskey.
Like, it
whiskey.
Seems like he would, like, if he started to smell bad, like, he would, I think he would know it and own up to it and be like, I gotta do something about this.
Excuse me. That's great.
In order to survive, and you had to be stuffed into an animal like Luke did with the Tauntaun, what Star Wars animal would you pick?
I think I would go with the, and I may say this wrong, but the, I think it was called the Varactyl, that weird lizard thing that Obi-Wan rode around
in. Oh, yes.
And the Cold main reason blood. That I would do that is to not hear that thing anymore.
So as a musician, as a sound person, you didn't like the screams of, I think the individual animal was named Boga.
Okay.
I think that was the species name, but the character's name.
Okay. They have names, Boga. Tony.
I'm sorry.
So you did not like hearing the plaintive screams of Boga as Obi-Wan rode him.
Yeah, I just didn't. I didn't care much for that thing in general. And as we said before, I don't hate the prequels as much as others do, but that was just a thing I didn't like very much. And the noise got annoying to me after a bit.
Okay. Did you not like the lizardy aspect of it, or was it more just that Boga was a little too talkative for your taste?
It was kind of a combo of all that. Yeah.
Okay.
Just didn't love it. I thought there was lots of cool stuff going on, and then, I don't know.
Yeah. I really like his noises because it's powerful and distinct, and also I kind of like it because there's something kind of troubling about his screams, which mm-hmm. kind of works for what's going on in Revenge of the Sith. Like, everything's, like, things are kind of going well for Obi-Wan there, but you know something terrible is happening. It's sort of almost like the Boga senses it and is like, ah!
I think I was just sort of confused where it came from.
Oh, like gutturally within the creature?
Well, no, not the noise, but just it, the creature in general, because it's like, we don't ever see it, and then suddenly, I feel like, does he even, like, whistle or something, and then it just appears?
Yeah.
And it's like, did he have a background with this thing?
I think that Obi-Wan has just traveled to so many worlds during the Clone Wars that he knows there's a rideable animal on every world. He just needs to find the right one.
He's the Dr. Doolittle of the Star Wars universe.
Sounds about right.
Yeah.
Okay, so our final question is, last week we made some sort of wild predictions and prophecies about what the domestic box office weekend gross of The Force Awakens would be. What do you think it will be? Given that the record was Jurassic World at $208 million,
yeah.
What do you think Force Awakens will do?
See, there's part of me that feels like, oh yeah, it's definitely going to break that. But then there's also this part of me that feels like it might actually come a little bit shy. Because I feel like there are those people now that just want to, they're like ready to hate it.
Okay, yeah. Like,
you know what I mean?
I think there are people ready to be just kind of reactionary because so many of us are going to be out there with so much love that mm-hmm. other people are just going to be like, meh.
There's already so much out there right now. There's so much press just constantly barraging all of our senses.
Yeah.
So there'll probably be people who are over it by the time it comes out, general audience-wise anyway.
Yeah,
but.
And just there's so many people too that are like, you know, they did this to me once before. I'm not going to let it happen again. And so they're not going to go.
Yeah. But, you know, I've been thinking about that in because the pundits in some of the articles I've read have been saying about, like, well, with some of the animosity toward the prequels, that would have a financial factor. But I actually don't think so at all because Revenge of the Sith did great.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, they all still did well.
Yeah. Attack of the Clones did great. Revenge of the Sith, you know, did really well. So mm-hmm. I don't think that there's going to be any sort of financial damage myself.
Yeah,
as a result,
I hope you're right because Disney could use a break right now.
So what is your actual? So what is your actual prediction? If you get it exactly right, I will give you $1.
Ooh,
stakes are high.
Eating the pot. For nobody
what is?
I know.
What is, the Jurassic World?
$208 million.
$208 million. Yeah. I think it's going to be close. Yeah, I go back and forth of I think it'll break it, and then there's just part of me that I want it to break it, but there's part of me that feels like it might, but it's. I'm gonna go 205.
$205.
$1, okay. Bob. $1.
Yeah. I'm writing down $205.
and I am hoping that I'm not going to lose a dollar.
Remember it.
You know what?
Forever.
I hope you don't either. I want it to do better.
Playing the safe bet. Well, from there, thank you again for joining us and for answering those. We learned a little bit more about you as a fan, always,
thank
with
you.
The five Star Wars questions.
Absolutely.
And we're going to go from there to news from the HoloNet. Our first story today is from Tim Rose, confirming essentially that Admiral Ackbar is going to be in Episode 7.
Yep.
And with the character's role, I should say, Admiral Ackbar was featured in Star Wars Aftermath. He was the just war-hardened and exhausted general that just wanted everything to end.
That's awesome.
Really. He was just like, all right, we got to do this. We got to save this. And then you had a lot of moments where he was essentially just like, God, I thought the war was over. Sort of a thing. He pulls up a whiskey, sort of a thing. Like he has a back-to-tank that's all set to his home planet, but he doesn't want to get in there yet because he doesn't think his job is over yet.
That makes a lot of sense, because that's one of my favorite shots in Return of the Jedi in the battle, when one of the big ships goes down and he has that big sigh. Mm-hmm. And like, oh, that's awesome. It's really honest.
He's been doing this for years.
Yes. He's got a lot of sighs inside him.
Definitely.
He's the Danny Glover of
I'm getting too old for this. Yeah. This Bantha foot, never
mind. I can't repel motion of this magnitude.
Do you guys want him to say any sort of iconic line like, and it's a trap, or do you want him to surpass that from a character perspective?
Yeah, I don't want him to literally say it's a trap, but I kind of want him to say something like it.
I just want him to like flip a table, like, not again!
I want to believe that he is just a guy who yells out what things are sometimes.
He's very literal over there, really.
Be an admiral, but he's Captain Obvious sort of a thing. Yeah, that could work.
Or just like he wants everybody to be on the same page. Like, we all acknowledge this is a ham sandwich.
It's a ham sandwich.
Like, all right, okay, now going from that bit of information, we can plan how we want to handle it. What do you think? Do you want him, Tony, to say anything it's a trap like, or is that too winky?
Yeah, I'm really hoping that they, for the most part, steer clear of all that kind of stuff. I think I probably said this when I was on before, it drives me crazy when in sequels or whatever. When they do the kind of nudge of like, hey, remember when we did this before?
Yeah.
Like, I'm really hoping they avoid as much of that as possible.
Yeah. I don't think they will. The other thing that I thought was interesting about the article was the actor was talking about how it was frustrating the amount of secrecy on the film, which is fascinating to me. I totally agree. As an actor, it's really hard if you don't know what comes before, what comes after, how you're supporting the story with your character.
Yeah.
But it's fascinating to me to think of like, an actor being that like professional and that actorly about playing a totally masked fish man.
Yeah, but it's still an important character and one of the most iconic.
No, I totally agree. And so, I just think it's cool to hear that he is taking it that seriously.
Agreed. Totally agree.
Yeah.
But that also means it's rare these days that you get a movie that's so veiled in secrecy.
Yeah.
Like this is the one that, like, even with, like, Civil War is going to be a huge movie, and already people know, oh, well, because of shooting, and this person is here, and this person dies, and this, that, and the other thing. But this one, it's literally, we kind of know what the first act is.
Yeah.
Maybe.
It's
possible.
If you stop and think about it, from all the little bits and pieces you've heard, you can piece something together that probably makes a lot of sense.
Maybe.
But it's interesting to see, like, to think about how much secrecy. Like, is he just giving his lines alone? Is he just saying it's a ham sandwich and he doesn't know why?
He's
like,
not even on set. He's just doing ADR to somebody who was on set.
Yeah.
Never know.
Yeah. So our next piece of news is about Rebels. It has been confirmed that Sarah Michelle Gellar, we already knew she was going to be voicing a character, playing a character, and the character she is going to be playing is the Seventh Sister, a new Inquisitor character. Mm-hmm. Now, Tony, are you all caught up on Rebels? Are you enjoying Rebels?
Yeah, I like it quite a bit, actually. I was excited for it. I thought it looked like it was going to be cool, and it delivered for me, I think. I'm every now and then it might get like moments that find a little cheesy, but then I remind myself that it is a children's cartoon after all, so
yes.
I give it a pass.
Yes, it is keeping kids in mind and having a sense of of fun and
But at that same time, it gets kind of dark sometimes, though.
It does, but I feel like it's they're handling sort of violence with a really deft hand, where like if you're adult, you can tell like, wow, a really horrible thing happened, but we don't see it. It's very gentle.
Yeah, What, I mean, as opposed to Clone Wars, where there's at least like two deaths an episode, sort of a thing.
There's a
and
lot
not
of clones.
Just clones, not yeah. just clones. When senators get shot and so many people die in that show, it's like this is for kids and this is on for well 5.5-6 seasons. Surprising, but yeah, they're handling it with a little bit more deftness. Yeah. In Rebels, and it's nice to see.
Yeah, so are you guys excited about a new Inquisitor character?
I mean, yeah. I mean, it
just listen to that excitement in his voice.
Ultimately, yeah. It's like, oh, we're getting another Inquisitor. But at the same time, it's Sarah Michelle Gellar, and she's a wonderful actress. She's evolved into a great voice actress as well. And having her work opposite of her husband, Freddie Prinze Jr., is going to be fun in sort of a behind-the-scenes sort of
yeah.
element.
Yeah.
And they could probably make some really good stuff together, I figure, since they're in the booth together and they don't have a lot of lines that they have left to cross. So from a performer standpoint, you can play with it, have a lot of fun. You could probably get some great performances out of it.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of her work on Buffy, so I'm excited to hear her play a villain and see. I think she is a great actor with a lot of life in her, and I think like the Inquisitor characters can have the risk of being like, here's another evil person with a low speaking, menacing voice. And I'm sure she'll do some of that, but I think there'll probably be a little bit more like variation in how the character is portrayed.
Agreed. Do you think that she has to live up to Asajj Ventress?
I think that'll be a challenge, for sure, yeah. because I think there will be some comparison there. But I like that there's sort of a... I wasn't sure about the Inquisitor in the first season. I enjoyed the character, but there's a part of me that wanted to see, like, I want to see Vader going after everybody.
Yeah.
But I like kind of where they're going now, where, like, they've clearly established that Vader is the big menace, and then these Inquisitors... You got lightsabers, you can maybe move some stuff around a little bit, but you're not all the way...
You're not like, super,
you know,
Sith.
Yeah, Asajj was trying to be a Sith, you yeah. know? So it's interesting to me that sort of like, you're like low-rent Sith.
And also, you got to play the long game with Vader for something like this. And just the moment that Ahsoka and Kanan felt when essentially scanning for Vader
yeah.
was big enough that you can play that out for a season to be like, oh, I know who this guy is.
Yeah, so yeah, after seeing that, I'm much more excited about kind of the way the Inquisitors are going to play out.
Yeah. yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, sorry.
got lost in thought.
A little bit. I've got Sabotage stuck in my head. And speaking of that, a new character was revealed by the name Elo Asti. And for those of you who aren't in the know, that is a reference to the Beastie Boys album, Hello Nasty. J.J. Abrams is a big fan of the Beastie Boys. And we have this pilot, this X-Wing pilot, revealed on his helmet. Did you also see that it says a license to ill in an alien language? So it's a even more of a reference. Is there any other musician or band or group that you would want to hear referenced at all? Or do you think this is subtle enough to where hardcore fans will be like, oh, that's pretty funny.
Yeah.
Or is there anything that you really want to be like checked?
Well, once they introduce Darth Brooks, I think I'll
just
that will be enough for everyone. Well, you're a musician. Do you like this nod? Do you want other nods like this?
I'm indifferent on it. I mean, it's, you know, and I think it's I got to assume with the you know, it's like both subtle and like if you know, it's like, oh yeah, okay. Like you get the reference easily if you know. So that kind of makes me think he's probably going to be more of a very minor or
yeah,
background.
I think this is more of a joke for sort of like a meta joke outside the narrative. I don't think like Admiral Akbar is going to be saying, hello, Asti.
Yeah. yeah, exactly. Yeah,
get over here.
Is this going to be this saga's prune face?
Oh, that would be great. But they all have they have respectable names now.
not yeah. prune face.
He's not droopy jowls, which is what the alien kind of looks like if you're watching on YouTube.
That's the other thing that's written on his vest.
There. yeah, because this was back in the day. There would be an action figure called droopy jowls.
yeah, but I like a good reference as long as it's subtle enough and you're not like calling attention to it. Like, don't have him then. You know, say, well, this is a sabotage, or, you know, like,
listen, all y'all, it's a sabotage. Or like roll up over a hill, like with the X-Wing.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. As long as they don't take it too far.
He is resistance totally cool. fighting for his right to party. And at first I was like, oh, wow, that's really, really right out there. But I do think it's a meta thing. And there's a part of me that is happy to see that sort of balance struck of clearly the film is going to deal with some like deeper, darker themes and it's going to take the characters and the story seriously. But I think it is important that Star Wars does have like a sense of humor about itself.
Yeah, levity.
A sense of levity about it. And I think we as fans, too, trying to find that balance between getting super, super into it and super obsessive and Agreed. Debating the truth. So, yeah, I think it's cool.
It's mm-hmm. You can't have the super serious without being able to take a breather every now and again. And this character, at least from a toy collecting and just a general sense of character knowledge, can help us go, oh, that's the Beastie Boys guy. Okay, yeah. let's see what him and Poe are up to today, yeah. Like sort of a thing. And then we'll be dragged down into the depths of drama.
Yeah. Would you want your former band to be referenced in Star Wars? Would you
of
want
course.
A Motion City soundtrack? Would you yeah. want Oni Axton?
If they want to give it to me, I would take it in a heartbeat. Yeah, absolutely. I would. They could, and they could just immediately kill me. It's like if I was involved, sure.
So Mark's choking a little bit. That happens.
Yeah, I do it.
It happens.
If you tune back to every show, you'll see me choke just a little bit every time.
What a great promise. That's what makes Jedi Alliance different. Just a little choking every time. So our final bit of news isn't really news. It was just kind of a cool article that we wanted to share with fans if you hadn't found it. There's an article about Steve Evans, who is the design director for the new line of toys. And the article talks a little bit about how he was a fan and how he became in charge of the design of the new toys and some of his, like, philosophy and ideas behind it. It's a really cool article, and I wanted to use it as an excuse, Tony, to ask you about the new toys. Are you collecting them?
I am not actually collecting any. Actually, two days ago was the first time I actually saw one of the action figures in a store.
Oh, really?
Wow. Like, nobody has had them. Like,
You went into a store.
Yeah, I haven't gone with the intention of actually buying any.
Okay.
Trying to restrain myself. But I always go, and I just want to, like, see what they have. And I went to Target the other day, and they had literally one Finn figure.
Okay.
And that's the only one I've seen in any store I've been to so far.
Wow.
I've seen a couple of the ships, technically, and they'll have a, you know, one that comes with them. But as far as, like, the carded action figures, I've seen that figure and that figure only.
Now, you collected in your youth, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So does it, for you, does it have that sort of a fun nostalgia? Or does it feel like
absolutely.
Something entirely new?
No, it definitely has that nostalgia to it. You know, it feels a little different because I think as a kid, I feel like I remember it being more just, like, the action figures and the ships with, like,
yeah.
a couple other little things here and there. But, like, now, you know, it's, like, an entire aisle at Target. And,
yeah.
The toys were huge for me and kind of still are. And actually, yeah, the only thing that I do have, and I was blown away by this, it was my birthday about a month ago, and had a little party. And a friend showed up. I was constantly making jokes about how badly I wanted one of the BB-8s.
Yeah.
And a friend showed up with a BB-8 for me.
Wow.
Awesome.
So you guys both, Mark and Tony, are BB-8 birthday buddies.
Yeah.
Nice.
I mean, that's the thing. That's the big thing this year, whether you're a 60 or 6.
Yeah.
Everybody wants obscure Order 66 reference. that's the toy to get this year.
Yeah, yeah,
and probably for a while.
It's fascinating to me because, back in the day, the toys, there were some things, but it was the 3¾ action figures and the corresponding play sets.
Mm-hmm.
And I wrote a blog about this. I went to Target with the explicit purpose of buying a Star Wars action figure and a bottle of booze, just because I'm a relatively recent move to California, and you can't buy booze on Sunday or in a Target in the Midwest where I'm
right.
from. So I was like, that'd be fun to just... And I was shocked that they had... No, I was expecting one Finn or one resistance fighter or whatever action figure is just like not moving, whatever. They had no action figures, but it was weird to me that the aisle was still really full
mm-hmm.
of all of the other toys.
They had lightsabers, Legos.
Yeah, the remote control ships.
Yeah, the like the masks.
The masks, yeah.
Voice changer masks. Yeah.
Yeah,
there's a lot of stuff.
There's weird, I guess technically they'd still be action figures, but there's other ones that are like a little bigger.
Yeah, they're the big ones, yeah.
Well, not the really big ones, but there's other ones that they're like just slightly bigger and they're weird. Like everybody's got like this weird armor on. Like,
oh, is it the one where you can like take pieces apart and form your own?
Something
make your own
that.
Jedi Knight or something? I think the weirdest line was the Transformers, where like you could transform Han into the Millennium Falcon, but he's got like really huge shoulders and stuff. I don't know, or Boba Fett into the Slave One. That I think was the most obscure, really pulling sort of a toy line. But that's just me.
Yeah, no, I agree, and I'm happy that there's a wide variety of toys for lots of different people to play with. But it makes me old man cranky of like, but it's about the action figures, and there are no action figures.
I did get really excited when I saw at Toys R Us they had a case that has like all of the little Lego figurines.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And there's just something about seeing a little gray haired Han Solo Lego that just delights me.
Yeah, I'm so anxious for the actual classic characters, action figures.
Yeah.
I think my head is going to explode.
And that's why I like another thing that came out this past week, speaking of toys, was that this whole huge wave of merchandise and toys has all been the first third of the movie. Not even into, like, Act 2 or Act 3. I can't imagine the surefire tsunami, which is a weird way of putting that, a fire tsunami of the amount of toys that we're going to be getting after the movie releases.
Yeah. It's incredible.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, because this is, like, it's so far in advance that they, because it's already been a month now that those came out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we're still months away. I don't remember the prequel. I remember that they came out before the movie, but I don't remember being this early.
Yeah, I think they were maybe 6 weeks. I don't know. But, yeah, it didn't feel anywhere near as early.
Yeah.
Cool. So with that, we are going to move on to our main topic of the show today, the confirmation from Kathleen Kennedy in a Costco magazine interview.
Of all places!
Yeah,
that's what that membership buys you, an interview with Kathleen Kennedy. Jeez.
You can get giant cans of tomato soup and truth about Star Wars from Costco. But the revelation that the, or confirmation, but it feels like a revelation for some reason, that the trilogy
it's one of those,
is Skywalker's.
Yeah. Sort of a thing.
Yeah, well, how did you guys feel about it when you heard the news that it was confirmed that the new trilogy is the story of the Skywalker family?
I don't know yet. part of me is into it, and part of me is like, all right, well, maybe let's branch out a little more.
Right.
I'm a little bit torn. But that said, I know nothing about it other than what you just said.
But I think that feeling is maybe why it feels like a revelation and not a confirmation. Because part of me was like, oh, when I saw it, I was like, oh. And then I was like, but wait, but yeah, of course. But I think it is because, we haven't had any confirmation of new Skywalker characters, who they are.
Mm-hmm.
And that feeling of like, oh, is everything that ever happens in the galaxy, is it tied to Skywalker? Should it be? Which we can talk a little bit more about. Mm-hmm. I think, but wondering those things makes it feel a little bit like a revelation as opposed to just a confirmation?
Yeah, I can hear that. I can understand that. But when you think about what all of the movies have been,
yes,
it's there's always been the Skywalkers. There's a blue lightsaber and a Skywalker. That's it. That's what we need. And I'm still just getting over Costco, but it's interesting to see where the themes can go because the first trilogy. Well, I should say the prequel trilogy was more about downfall, tragedy. You see this great man who's supposed to, you're the chosen one, just totally ruin everything, wreck shop, and become the most powerful being in the galaxy.
Right.
And then there's a new hope, which happens to be his son.
Yeah.
And I think if anything, these next three will be like legacy and the next step. I don't know it'll be having to live up to the ideals of the most powerful good guy and bad guy in the galaxy, no matter who it is.
Yeah. So I think it's interesting to me of like, the prequel trilogy and the classic trilogy sort of, they do successfully form a circle.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if you look at it as Anakin Skywalker Vader's story, but they do have the strong theme about tragedy and then redemption. So in some ways the story is done, but we want to see and hear more.
Yeah.
So it's interesting to me, like, what do you guys think the main theme will be of the three, or what would you like it to be of the three new movies in the Skywalker saga?
I don't know the best word for it, but I would say figuring out which side you're on, really.
Okay.
It's finding out where you fit in between there, because you have this legacy in your blood of this ultimate evil and this ultimate good. Where do I fit in? Will I make a decision that will push me full-heartedly into the dark side?
Yeah.
Or do I have to really watch myself and be super good just in order to stay on the good side? But does that make me good? I think it's going to be an inner conflict depending on whoever the Skywalker or Skywalkers is or are.
Yeah, I think that would be really cool. That was one of the thoughts that I had of just like if the main theme was sort of balance, because that was Anakin's prophecy that he was going to bring balance to the Force, mm-hmm. and it's open for us all to interpret that. But yeah, that idea of is there value in being somewhere in between the dark side and the light side? Mm-hmm. And yeah, I think that's a really interesting theme. Do you have theme thoughts, Tony?
Yeah, it's bad. It's bad that you have just me today for questions like that, because I feel like I don't necessarily have. I just want it to be fun. And
you
just good.
Like it. You want the theme to be fun.
Yeah, well, I mean, not the like too. And I don't mean that as like too lighthearted or anything. But,
no. I think it's legitimate. I think that there is a possibility. I think Lucas was really interested, especially in the creation of the prequels, of these themes of. Symbiosis and circle and sort of making a ring of the story and the evil Skywalker and the good Skywalker. But I think there's a possibility that the new team, the new trilogy, will just want to make a classic story of good versus evil.
Mm-hmm.
And there won't necessarily be any theme that sort of connects to the
right.
first two trilogies.
Yeah.
And it might just be about good versus evil and fun.
Yeah, and I'm totally okay with that. Like, 'cause I think... Again, like, as long as there's not, I just don't want to, like, recycle things too much. Of, like, because, you know, it already kind of seems like maybe Luke is going to almost be, like, the Obi-Wan role in this. Like, we're getting, because we already know he has the beard. is it it's almost two on the nose, you know? It's like, well, he's got the beard now. He's going to be, like, the old wise guy, like, telling, the old wise guy.
Yeah, the old wise guy.
It's going to be like Goodfellas. Yeah.
Tell me how to use a lightsaber. Come on.
Yeah. So, and then even just from the voiceover in the trailer, like, it kind of leads you, because, you know, he's talking about, that's that line from Jedi, and but then it adds the, you have that power too. So it kind of seems like he's kind of be training someone, maybe. And,
yeah.
And, like, I'm okay with that, but I just don't want it to be like, oh, okay, well, here's this story again. Which
right.
I don't think they're going to do that, but that is just, like, deep down, it's like, okay, just don't rehash too much.
Yeah, I certainly get that. I think there'll be rhythms, but I think they'll try to make their own new thing at the same time. So who do you guys either think or want to be the new Skywalkers or Skywalker out of the people that we've already, the characters we've already learned about?
I think, I want it to be Rey.
Okay.
I definitely want it to be Rey. I think in the character description of Poe wanting to be that hero, that makes it seem like he has a legacy to uphold. So I think in that regard, I think he's going to be somebody's kid, whether that makes him a Skywalker or not. Don't know. It's entirely, it really could be anybody.
Right.
The Force works in such mysterious ways. It really could be anybody, but I want it to be Rey.
Interesting.
When you read Aftermath?
I read Aftermath.
Have you read all of it?
Yeah.
Okay. I've not gone through all of it yet, but isn't there a character at some point? I feel like there was someone who was introduced recently. I don't remember their first name, but they had the Dameron last name.
That was
name.
The Shattered Empire.
In Shattered Empire, yeah. There's a Dameron. We could be meeting his...
His parents.
Okay.
Yeah. Maybe. Parents, uncle. We don't know yet.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
We're meeting the Dameron family.
Okay. Yeah, true. That could be his uncle.
Yeah. Could be an uncle.
Uncle Dameron.
Yeah.
So, Tony, do you have opinions or thoughts or desires?
I'm kind of in that same boat. I feel like it just, your gut kind of goes with Rey. Because we know Poe's last name, so it's like obviously not, well... Who knows?
Yeah, unless it's
who
super,
knows?
Super
yeah.
tricksy.
Yeah. But then, I don't know. Like, I know there was rumors going around for a while that they wanted there was going to be, like, Obi-Wan was going to have a secret daughter or something. I know it was a rumor for a while.
Yeah, and, hey, rumors, man.
And so, and I know they were trying to say, but they were specifically trying to say, like, having, like, an African-American daughter.
Okay.
And so, like, for example, did they just go a guy with that route? And maybe, but it's not, you know, that's
yeah.
Obi-Wan's kid.
So you
that,
think it might be Finn Kenobi?
I don't know.
Fair enough.
I'm at the same, like, as excited as I am about this, I'm also trying to not think about it too much.
Right.
Like, I mean, don't get me wrong. I think about it all the time. But I try not to go story-wise too much in my
right,
head.
Right, no, I totally understand that. Yeah. And I'm normally that way. I think I am so deeply affected by the sort of the legacy of the Skywalker's sort of story. Like, that was a lot of the power of that trailer to me. That mm-hmm. I get more excited about thinking about the Skywalker lineage in particular, rather than trying to get specific plot points. But
yeah.
but I really like thinking about the Skywalker lineage. For me, I know it's you know, coming from the expanded universe, but I really like the twins idea. I like that sort of that, you know, Anakin was this weird immaculate virgin birth, but then after that, like, a Skywalker just can't reproduce without getting two.
Yeah.
Like, so I sort of like that idea.
A way to make up for it.
Yeah. I think it'd be really interesting if it was Rey and Kylo Ren.
Yeah.
And I think that would tie back to some of the things we were talking about. If it maybe is a story about balance, there's one Skywalker who's kind of yeah. playing with the light side and one Skywalker who's dabbling in the dark side.
Mm-hmm. Dark dabbling. No, dark. Yeah.
I honestly, like, that's, I guess that proves how... One, how dumb I am. Two, how little I've thought story wise. Because there's part of me that, like, didn't even let the Kylo Ren thing enter my brain.
The new Skywalker,
oh, really?
It's the Skywalker yeah. rule of two.
Because I know, and
the Sith rule of two.
And they said what the
yeah.
key is.
That's a cool connection.
Yeah, because they said that he was like what the Knights of Ren or something like that.
Yeah,
So, like, I kind of forgot about that aspect. I was just thinking of, like, oh, that's just his name. But, like, clearly he became this.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's probably some background yeah. stuff there we don't know.
So, where do you guys want the kids to come from? Which sounds like I'm suddenly doing Star Wars health class, but no. I mean, like, do you want them to be Han and Leia's children? Do you want to be Luke's children? Do
Space
you care?
Stork. I don't.
Space Stork?
Space Stork. Because I think the... The most rational is that they're a byproduct of Leia and Han,
mm-hmm.
but that would make them Solos, wouldn't it?
Make them Solos
and
Skywalkers, yeah.
Solo walkers. Terrible. They walk around with a red Solo cup the whole time. But Han also seems like the type of guy who's like, kids, I'm out of here. So him being Chewie were home, what if that's him looking at Rey? As opposed
maybe.
To being back on the Millennium Falcon?
Yeah.
Like, oh. That's you. Holy crap. Hi, I'm your dad.
Yeah.
I guess I'm home now. But a lot more confident and happy that of the woman that she's become. But, yeah, I think that makes the most sense. I don't know. Like, cool, go Luke, but we haven't seen him for 30 years, so we have no inkling of any sort of a relationship.
Right.
Or if he's just been in hiding for 30 years.
Yeah, and it is all that speculation, but it is, for me, fun to think about what one wants, and, like, it'd be cool to me if one was Luke's kid, and if there are two Skywalkers, one is Luke's and one is Leia and Han's.
Yeah, that could work.
But I think the weird thing also about this revelation is it is facing us to think about there's some bad parenting somewhere in this.
Oh, 100%.
unless all of our guesses are wrong, unless, like, you know, certainly it could be that Finn is Luke's kid and he's been with Luke all the time, and that's why he has a lightsaber. But certainly Rey has been portrayed as out there on the planet alone, which makes it seem like, well, one of our beloved heroes who is a symbol of good in the galaxy, just like, bye,
whoops.
Kid.
Well, I mean, it could also be like, well, we were sent off when we were babies, and look at how we turned out. I became a princess, and your brother's the flippin' Jedi savior.
We both got tortured by our dad.
Yeah,
clad in dark armor. It will work out for you too, kid.
Yeah, it'll work itself out. Will of the Force and all that.
Well, that could go the bad parenting possibility could go with what has entered my mind, and I'm sure I'm going to be wrong about this, but there is this part of me that feels like, for some reason, Han and Leia are not together.
Yeah, yep. Other people have brought that up.
Yeah.
I was in the same boat as you, where I was just so blindly not thinking about that,
yeah.
And then a couple of friends were like, come on, man, wake up. Be an adult. I'm like, oh, yeah, you're right. Okay.
Yeah, because you know, they've made this this big statement and all these efforts to erase the expanded universe stuff and everything. So that a part of me is like, maybe that's going to be like another step with that of like, yeah, they're not together, or maybe they were and maybe they did have these kids, and but then they're separated. And
yeah, so maybe it'll kind of be a story of redemption about our classic heroes in some way, where things have not gone well for them and they've they freed the universe and they're like, eh, we're busy, and the universe, the galaxy has fallen apart again, and they're like, oh man, got to gear up and do this again.
Having kids saved our lives, made everything work out, except it didn't. So now that they're grown, we'll have them sort out all of our everything.
Yeah.
And make our lives worth.
And families, please bring your kids to this Disney movie all about bad parenting and letting the galaxy fall
to evil.
That's
why it's PG-13.
I wanted to get back to something that you were touching on, Tony, about the Skywalkers always being tied to the fate of the galaxy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's easy to feel that way, but I also wonder if we examine the original trilogy and the prequel trilogy, are the events totally tied to Anakin and Luke's actions?
Well, I mean,
I know it's a good question when I get a high pitched reaction.
If it wasn't for Anakin turning to the dark side and killing all of those children, we would have a lot more Jedi running around.
Right. Yeah. But Order 66 still would have happened.
With as much efficiency.
No, nowhere near as much youngling killing, for sure.
And that guaranteed the loss of a generation, except for one, of course, in Kanan and Ahsoka. But I think that without the Skywalkers, one, a lot less interesting. Two,
no argument there, my friend.
It's their destiny. It really is. That's what it seems like. Is no matter what, a Skywalker has to be there. If we knew a little bit more about Shmi and where she came from, then we might be able to go, oh no, yeah, definitely,
yeah,
all 100% space prophecy.
Well, how about Return of the Jedi?
How about it? How about that Return of the Jedi?
Well, let's cue it up.
All right. Real quick, watch it. Luke resolves his father's story, Anakin redeems himself, and the Emperor is taken out. But in theory, the rebels could have blown up the Death Star, and they could have all still been sort of squabbling.
Mm-hmm.
So the fate of the galaxy, the entire buildup of the original trilogy is that Yoda and Obi-Wan have waited until the time is right, until Skywalker is powerful enough to take them on. And he does, in his own way, and it's a great story. But it's not, they still might have blown up.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
What do you guys think about that?
Yeah, like, you know, he's a key part, obviously. But, yeah, I don't know that necessarily everything is relying on the Skywalkers.
Yeah, I mean, certainly destroying the Death Star, the first Death Star.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe the rebellion would have been crushed more. But in just, like, the ultimate final showdown with the Emperor.
A little bit more crushed.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you're going to just Luke. Leia was on the moon of Endor trying to shut everything down. And once she did, even if Luke and Vader and Palpatine were all still on there and the Death Star blew up,
then the Skywalkers still fulfilled their destiny. That's a great point.
Yeah. So no matter what, still a Skywalker.
Yeah, cool. So do you guys think that the new trilogy will be like this where, in my opinion, there are those moments of finesse. It's not as clear as there was a problem and the Skywalkers removed it, that there's clearly a lot of...
Call the Skywalkers!
we have a Star Wars problem and needs removing. Do you think it will be like that where there is wiggle room or debate room? Or do you think it will be very, very clearly the Skywalkers are destroying or saving the galaxy?
Yeah, I mean, the news about it focusing on the Skywalker family, that changes my... Because initially, I didn't think that at all. Like, I kind of thought, you know... I had the impression the new one was just going to be... We might not even get the original characters after this new one. The first... Well, not the first. You know what I mean.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
should I break this down? But yeah, hearing that... yeah, so maybe they are going to be, like, really heavy on, like, they are... such a important piece. But at the same time, I'm fine with learning more about... I mean, I guess we are moving forward in time, so we're not gonna... But I don't know. I don't want to find out too much about, like, if more, like, backstory things are revealed because, you know.
You mean before the movie comes out? Or you mean in the movie?
No, like in the movie, if somehow, like, we find out more about Shmi.
They find a holocron that's, like, the very first reported use of the Force, and it's like, hey, Jim Skywalker, yeah, look, I'm pushing all this stuff around with my hands, it's great.
I would certainly veto Jim Skywalker for sure, that part of it.
I mean, it's been a long-running process. JJ's tired. Sorry, just Jim, whatever.
Yeah, he's got some other people to help him
Jimbo!
Out, right?
Jimbo!
This is kind of a side question. What do you think we're going to end up calling the new trilogy? Right now we're saying new trilogy. We say original and prequel in general. Do you think it will take on a name? Do you think Disney will come forward and say, this is what you should call these new saga films? This new trilogy is the Jim Skywalker trilogy.
Yeah, the Jim Skywalker trilogy.
I don't know if it'll get a, like, official... Because, like, did the other ones even really have... I mean, everybody's just come to calling them the prequels, and but, like, is that really, like, an official stamp on them saying, like, this is what these are called?
No, I don't think... I think you find it in official... I don't think there's an official stamp, but I think just the way language and humans work, eventually we'll have to come up with something other than...
I'm sure people will... Right, yeah. And maybe they will be the Disney...
The Disney trilogy?
Yeah. I mean, that makes it
ultimate
sound
branding.
Weird. But yeah. But yeah, I mean, yeah, I hope it doesn't become, like Disney actually doing that. Like, the new Disney trilogy.
It'll be the awesome trilogy.
I think a new trilogy fits right now.
Yeah.
I think once we get to episode 9, once we get to episode 9 and we have what the story is, it might come to a new name. But
yeah, like something organic will emerge.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Yeah. And also depends on if there's going to be a 10, 11, 12.
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
So,
so what do you guys, speaking of the sort of legacy of Skywalkers and maybe Jim, what do you guys
legacy
think
of
sort of connects all of the Skywalkers that we've seen? Anakin, Luke, Leia, Shmi. What are the common traits that we actually see besides they have the Force? They have, certainly, most of them have parental issues.
Yeah. I mean, once you took the Force out of it, I was like, what do they have?
What is the Skywalker family trait?
Sweet hair.
I think that is an honest
one. Pretty good
one. They've all got pretty awesome hair.
But, I mean, it would have to be inner conflict.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah, because I think that we see examples of, like, great sort of sensitivity and kindness mixed with being really focused about what their mission is.
Yeah.
And I think that's cool. I think that's a thing that I certainly relate to because I'm kind of a sensitive, artsy guy. But then when I get obsessed with something, I'm really obsessed with it. And the whole world can just GTFO. But then, like, but I'm so sensitive. Like, no. And I think that's cool about kind of the Skywalkers balancing those parts of their inner selves.
Yeah. Part of me almost wanted to say whiny. But really, that's when you think about it, though. Yeah, it's just the dudes. Like,
it's
we don't really
dudes.
Get much whining out of Leia or Shmi.
And to be fair, Leia and Shmi are both a little bit more. They're a little bit more grounded, and they know what they want to do and what needs to happen, and are compassionate, but I think balanced. And then Luke and Anakin both have the whole world telling them what their destiny is constantly.
Yeah.
And then they both have to decide. So that's interesting to me if we're going to have whoever the Skywalkers are.
Depending on who it is.
If there's another character. Like, maybe that's Luke's role. Is he's just yelling at somebody else about
what
their destiny
is. Well, somebody
yelled
at me when I was a kid, damn it. So I'm gonna continue that legacy.
First, I had my destiny was to fix the moisture evaporator. And then it was to real quick save the galaxy.
Then my aunt and uncle burned to death, and I'm like, ugh. That's a whole thing. Should learn about it.
Do you have any other thoughts on what makes a Skywalker a Skywalker?
Aside from the deep connection to the Force, again, if we get to learn, maybe not necessarily in these movies, but if we learn more about Shmi in an official context, and a Disney approved or a canon approved context, to where if there's just like we're gonna put the Force in you, as opposed to like, why did they pick the Skywalker? Why did they pick Shmi Skywalker aside from, oh, he's gonna have an awesome name? Like, no, like if we get an actual reason as to why she was chosen,
and if she was even chosen,
because if it wasn't, then it was literally just the will of the Force.
Yeah, and I know there's some stuff about this in Darth Plagueis, but it's not canon anymore.
Exactly.
Cool,
that's what I mean.
Cool to talk about, but it is kind of open season. And I mean, I like the way Shmi is presented, that she is a kind but he seems competent and intelligent person, which seems like they're all going to have, all the Skywalkers are going to have a little bit of Shmi coursing through their veins with the Force.
And maybe a little of Qui-Gon.
It's one of the new side movie, Shmi, Myself, and Irene.
Boo! I love it!
Worse than Jim Skywalker.
I don't know. Jim Skywalker's pretty bad.
After we're done taping, I'm going to flip this table
what
twice.
My best.
What do you guys think, speaking of just the Force in general, how do you guys think the galaxy is going to be looking at the Force in the new Disney Kathleen Kennedy trilogy? In the original trilogy, the Force is certainly believed in by the rebels, and I think that's, now that we have the prequel trilogy to sort of fill out the story, it's, they're like, oh yeah, the Jedi were wiped out by this evil regime, we know this good thing is here and we'll believe in it. In the prequels, and especially in Clone Wars, everybody accepts the Force is real, mm-hmm. but it's kind of afraid of it, kind of afraid of Jedi. And then other people in the original trilogy treat it as a weird, Pokey outdated religion both yeah. Han and you know, the Imperials on the Death Star refer to it as a weird religion. So we've kind of got a lot of perceptions of normal people, how they take in the Force. Normal how do you think people. Normal people in the galaxy will feel about the Force?
I think it's going to go system to system. You can't put an overarching thing. From what we saw, that seemed to be the common thread. But I think now that... I think because the Death Star was taken out by ships, as yeah. opposed to... Oh, some dude waved his hands and it totally blew up.
Right.
I think it's gonna go back to that, maybe even a cult status where
yeah.
a little bit more of the dark side, there was something also in Aftermath that kind of alluded to like a cult of the dark side and,
cool.
And the remaining Sith believers being cult like. But in terms of the light side, I think it's gonna be Luke. I don't think we're seeing new Force churches coming up and temples and stuff like that. But it depends on Luke's role. If he really is trying to restart the Jedi Order, then
yeah.
that would have to start with a temple somewhere.
Yeah, and I think that's a massive question. I for just like pure fan geek thing, I think it would be cool to see Luke being sort of nomadic about it, of like, I'm not going to try to start a new order, but I'm just going to let the Force guide me, and if I run into somebody and I feel like the Force is saying, train this lady, I will.
Yeah.
And hey, lady! Want to hear about my great-grandpa Jim?
And that's why nobody trained in the Force. Like, I don't want to hear about Jim. No, go away. What do you think about other people's perception of the Force?
I kind of feel like it might depend on, yeah, like, are there going to suddenly be more Jedi? Are they back? Like, have more, like, appeared now
yeah,
because
Finn
of all
is
this?
Finn is certainly holding that lightsaber like he knows how to use it.
Yeah.
And maybe he's just
But there's also
off.
Been, I've read some things, too, that are saying, like, people think that that's possibly a dream sequence kind of thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But so who knows?
Yeah,
who knows? So that, you know, I think that'll be a big factor of it. And I don't know. I feel like it'll at least be, people will be more, like, they'll maybe treat it like they know it's there, but they kind of don't quite believe it until they see it kind of thing, maybe.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
feel, yeah. Go ahead.
I was just going to make a dumb analogy.
Oh, please
like,
do.
Feel the self-driving cars that they're testing out now. Yeah. Like, we know they're out there. But I haven't seen one yet.
But they kind of scare us. So we don't trust them.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I feel like if there was a real historian who managed to figure out, like, the real truth of the galaxy that we get to see as an audience, they'd be like, come on. People messing around with the Force have done a lot of good, but also a lot of bad, and it's been a lot of the galaxy getting burned by infighting.
It would be like one of those conspiracy videos you see on YouTube where like everybody's like, "No, man, this is actually what happened," but it's like, "No, hey, man, we were there. That's don't listen to this guy." I don't know, but I just had a really random thought. Speaking of Skywalker lineage. What if Kylo Ren is a Skywalker, the reason he creates his own lightsaber with a crossguard mm-hmm. is so that nobody can cut off his hand.
Oh,
and
yeah.
he avoids that fate that all of his relatives have had to deal with.
If I were a Skywalker, the first thing I would do when I get my lightsaber is I would cut off my own hand.
Just make a robot. Just
get a mechanical one right out of the gate, and then whoever cuts my hand off first,
then
be really
the
shocked.
Robot hand.
Like, ha-ha.
No, but then, I mean, that happened to Luke, because he got his hand cut off, and then he got his robot hand cut off. So, yeah, I could,
Anakin.
No, didn't, isn't that the end of, at the end of Jedi? No, I'm totally wrong.
No, he gets it shot.
I am on so many medications right now.
Understandable. My last thing that I wanted to bring up in our main topic here, the Kathleen Kennedy Costco article also spends...
Still.
It's almost as hard to take as Jim Skywalker, but it's true. It's true. Kathleen Kennedy Costco article. She talked about spending a lot of time with access to George Lucas, talking to George Lucas to get his big picture vision of Star Wars to really understand the core of what it is. So given both the classic trilogy and the prequel trilogy, what do you guys think the core of Star Wars is?
I mean, that's
it's a simple question, right?
Not, sure. Let me just,
I'll just throw that out
analyze
there.
Life experience. And I think the Star Wars movies is all about, it is really about trying to be the best person that you can.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you try so hard to be good that you throw everything away and you find out you're on the wrong path. Sometimes you might be on the right path. You just have to trust your instincts.
Yeah.
And use your brain. Use the force. Don't be afraid to be pulled in whatever way that the universe guides you. But ultimately, you have to be the one to make those decisions. You can't just be like, "What should I do? I want to save my wife. I don't want anybody to die. I want to be the most powerful person ever." But ultimately, it's you. You have to make the decision.
Yeah,
and you have to live with that.
Yeah, and then Luke has the other side of that. He is being told by our wise Obi-Wan and Yoda that your destiny is to kill the Emperor and your father to free the galaxy. Mm-hmm. And he's like, "Nope, not going to do it."
Yeah, ultimately, yeah. No matter what people want you to do, it's ultimately your decision, and you can change the course of your life one way or the other.
Cool. Do you have thoughts on what the sort of core value or main theme?
I mean, I feel like I kind of agree with what you said, and in a way, like I feel like you could almost say that about George Lucas.
Yeah,
because he made this thing that so many people loved, and then he brought it back and did what he wanted to do with it, but a lot of people weren't too into what he did then.
Yeah.
But he stuck to it and just kept doing what he wanted to do. And then, years later, he's passing it off. He passed it off for a ton of money, but
yeah,
used that money to, what was it, build housing for, I forget.
Yeah, he's exactly. A lot of charitable work.
Low income housing and charitable work. Yeah. And I think it's, to his credit, I think it's called Behind the Empire. I might have that wrong. The making of documentary that came with the DVDs in like 2004 or 2006 mm-hmm. has this great documentary. And, you know, it's all produced and approved by George Lucas. And it certainly doesn't depict George Lucas falling to evil, but it does depict how he wanted to be an independent filmmaker, sort of free and nomadic. Mm-hmm. And then the success of Star Wars built up this whole empire around him. So I think that's kind of a cool story. And then he had the redemption of like, yeah, I'm going to walk away.
Yeah.
That's cool. Shall we move on to...
I believe we should. We end every episode, as we do, with the Duel of Fates.
A lovely dance for the YouTube viewers.
You gotta do the dance.
Dancing for you.
Last week's question was...
It's not a very danceable song.
It's perfect. No, you just gotta wave this around a whole bunch. What is the best hand removal in all of Star Wars? It was a very close run between Obi-Wan removing three of Anakin's limbs at once, but Vader cutting off his own son's hand won by just a few. There's a lot of votes for Luke cutting off Vader's hand in Jedi, but there are a couple people that we wanted to there was somebody that we wanted to shout out. A great answer from Facebook, Zachary Krieger. The first scene where we get to see a lightsaber in action, Mos Eisley. Also, the first and last time we see blood. Apparently, Ben's lightsaber isn't hot enough to cauterize. You know, those old technologies.
So those are all votes from our Facebook page, and mm-hmm. we'll post this week's Duel of the Fates and get your guys' comments and feedback on that. Tony, do you have a favorite arm or hand or limb removal?
I mean, well, yeah, the Luke's hand is obviously the classic one, but
yeah.
I don't know. I kind of agree with the whole chopping off three at once move. It's pretty cool.
It's pretty.
Whoa!
It's pretty like, okay.
Overkill, bro.
I'm tired and I'm going to end this fight.
I love you. I'm sorry, but I have to cut off most of everything.
And I do think the new movie should just start with pretty much like the first thing you see is just a hand being chopped off. Like,
everybody
turns, we got it out of the way.
Everybody turns the camera. There, we did it.
That was one of the great comments also on the Facebook page somebody brought up right away. It's like, do you think there's going to be a lot of hand and arm removal in The Force Awakens? aliens, and that was I was thinking like, well, maybe that's BB-8's origin story. Maybe that's where like this droid's not going to have limbs because limbs just get cut off. It's easier for everyone. This week's Duel of the Fates is going along with some of our speculation in The Force Awakens. I love the idea that there would be brand new Force powers that we have never seen. Mm-hmm. So the question is, what Force powers would you like to see in the new trilogy?
Oh, the music stopped there. That was like perfectly timed.
It's like Jeopardy. Yeah. We need an answer.
I like felt more, way more pressure at that moment. I mean, just the idiot in me wants to just give a stupid answer because I can't think of a real one. Yeah, because part of me doesn't want them to introduce new stuff.
Yeah,
and that's just and that's me, just being the like, well, it's been around, so like, why are there suddenly going to be these new ones? I mean, I guess you could discover things.
Could be, yeah, I figure if there are going to be new powers, it's going to be evolutions. Mm-hmm. As again with Kylo Ren doing all of this research on Vader, seemingly, I figure there might be an evolution of the Force choke where he literally just. Like crushes somebody like Force yeah. head crush exactly like that too and
yes
but,
Kids in the Hall style
exactly so that's what I think is it's going to be a variation of push if we do, this probably won't be in this movie but if we could see somebody manipulate a lightsaber with the Force so they could fight possibly with a two-handed lightsaber and then maybe use the Force for an additional one or like a dagger or like a sidearm or something.
Yeah, yeah. I think it'd be cool to see more sort of mental powers because that's sort mm-hmm. of like there's a lot of the physical manipulation but then like the, you know, convincing the weak-minded people to do things is sort of a mental power and we get a little bit into that. But yeah, it would be cool to see like if Kylo Ren could just command 12 First Order Stormtroopers just utterly control their actions, like yeah. you're playing a video game.
Who's
just like
master.
Have that level of like yeah, mental control, or yeah. something yeah. like that.
Or maybe I just had the thought of like we've seen Force push, haven't really seen a Force pull. I mean, maybe with like objects, but
yeah,
like
we
what
have
if, what,
a little bit
like with people though.
In Clone Wars, we've seen like pulling battle droids into sabers and things
okay.
like that.
Yeah,
but
okay.
yeah, certainly
cheap,
I'd like to see
cheap tactics.
Yeah, I would like to see just in general. It's not a new Force power, but I would love to see more pushing and pulling. I would yeah. like to see like the real life version of Tinder where people are just being swiped left and right. I would love to just see tons of people being thrown around by the Force.
Force Tinder. Force E-Date.
I will put this up tomorrow, Tuesday, on the Facebook page and get all of your thoughts.
Please, please like, comment, subscribe. And to get all of our updates for throughout the week, we post about what our show's going to be before the actual show goes up. And speaking of which, right now, the two of us are reading Lost Stars. We're going to be doing a show on that within the next couple of weeks. So please, if you do have the book, make sure to come back. We're stick to that Facebook page, our Twitter account. We will let you know when we were doing that episode. If you haven't gotten Lost Stars yet, what are you waiting for? Go out and pick it up so that you can be a part of our discussion when we do that show.
Awesome.
But for now, sir, please push where you are, where the people can find you throughout the week.
Throughout the week.
Yeah.
Twitter and Instagram at Tony Thaxton, TonyThaxton.com. I also have a Patreon, patreon.com/TonyThaxton. There are different fun things you can get when you pledge to that. I've like been recording and releasing a cover song every week, releasing those two bonus episodes of my podcast, and also just weird things like get some of my old drumsticks and things like that.
And pictures of your dog.
And pictures of my dog.
Which is great.
Yes.
Tony has an awesome dog if you like dogs.
but then also if I may add to that, I'm trying to get to a small level, just $300 on there. But once we do that, a mutual friend of Joseph and I, Alex Robinson, and I are working on a little like mini comic book based on like an old tour story of mine.
Yeah, that's
and,
awesome.
So yeah, we're trying to put that out there. So
cool.
Go donate to the Patreon if you can.
Yeah, please check do. That out. And you can find me on all of the social media at Joseph Scrimshaw, even Snapchat. Jeez.
You laughed that out. Snapchat, I guess.
No, I've been trying Snapchat. It's a lot of fun. Yeah. And all, you can find out all my other stuff about me on my website at josephscrimshaw.com. The big thing right now is I have a new comedy album out called Rebel Scum that's all about Star Wars and how Star Wars impacts our modern world. Got shows coming up all the time in Los Angeles, so check out josephscrimshaw.com.
And make sure to follow me at Soapbox Mark. We are going to be relaunching Do Games Make Good Movies right here on the Popcorn Talk Network as Video Game Film Anatomy. That's going to be later today at 6 p.m. Make sure to join us. The show will be back. We run every 2 weeks. And thank you for joining us on Jedi Alliance.
Awesome. Thank you guys for watching and or listening to Jedi Alliance. You can watch the show on YouTube by subscribing to youtube.com/popcorntalknetwork. Catch the Jedi Alliance on iTunes and please rate and review. You can also visit popcorntalknetwork.com to find a nice list of all the past episodes of Jedi Alliance and links to both iTunes and YouTube. Please also follow us on Twitter and Facebook at Jedi Alliance for all the us-related news. This has been Jedi Alliance on the Popcorn Talk Network. Has a lightsaber been ignited behind me? That is terrifying. We talk movies. Thank you for listening, because many Bothans died to bring us this information.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.